Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Hi, here we go on a Monday. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, there is plenty of both. I love the draft. Sat there all weekend. I know. Joy Taylor is joining me. I love it. It's my thing.
It was actually a very packed sports weekend. You had the draft all weekends, the Kentucky Derby, the Ruiz-Ariola fight. It was a busy weekend.
It was. Lakers look like they're in trouble. LeBron got hurt.
We'll get to that.
So let me start with this. I don't give draft grades. I think they're very consumable but sort of ridiculous. I'm not going to pretend I know how well your sixth and seventh and mostly your fifth round picks are going to do. It's silly. I mean, I saw this weekend, oh, Patriots get an A+. If Mac Jones is average, it's a bad draft. Oh, the Jets draft. Oh, can Zach Wilson play? Or is he completely overwhelmed for 2 years? My prediction in the best defensive coach division in football. I'm not going to make grades on drafts. I mean, these teams that drafted quarterbacks, if your quarterback doesn't work, it's a terrible draft. Chicago's could be a great draft, or it could be terrible. So I'm not going to waste time. Now, I will say this. My job is to give you as potentially accurate an evaluation as I can. So what I've done, anybody that's listened to me, Joy's been here, what I do every Monday after the draft, I think has a much greater chance to be accurate. I take your top two or three top free agents, your top two or three draft picks, and then those guys, it's a much greater chance they hit. And I thought there was three teams that got an A+, and they were already really good rosters. I thought the Cleveland Browns get an A+ for their offseason. The LA Chargers get an A+ for their offseason. And the Kansas City Chiefs get an A+ for their offseason. So let me explain. Cleveland's already got a nice roster. They made the playoffs and they won a playoff game. But their back end was awful. They not only addressed their linebacking and secondary, they massively upgraded. That was as good a weekend as the Cleveland Browns have ever had in terms of addressing more of their issues. So you get Jadeveon Clowney, Troy Hill, John Johnson. These guys have played in the league. These are grown-ups. These are men, not boys in the NFL. Then you go get a corner, Greg Newsome, who I had going in the first round earlier than they got him, and maybe the linebacker from Notre Dame. So what you get here is a mix of veterans. You get a mix of youth. You get guys who have called plays. John Johnson for the Rams has been calling plays for a defense. You get grown-ups, kids, and you attack your one weakness. And I already know you got a good coach and can win a playoff game because I saw it last year. That is an A+ off season. You had a weakness. You solved it with veterans and draft picks, not just kids. I don't want to hear, oh, we drafted 9. You got it. Most GMs in trades don't want 9 picks because half of these guys don't pan out. So Cleveland, A+. Let's go to the Chargers. Really good roster, but a bad O-line. Not only did they solve their O-line, it could be as good as any not named Kansas City or maybe the Colts in football. Corey Linsley, Pro Bowler. From bad at center to a Pro Bowl center. Then they got Rashawn Slater, Asante Samuel, and Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer is going to be the surprise third-round pick in the draft. Had a bad college quarterback. Kid's a stud. So they attacked with Justin Herbert. They attacked their weakness, got a Pro Bowl center, mini-graded the top left tackle, and then they got the best corner drafted in the second round. And again, Jared Cook, Corey Linsley, and the Steelers, I didn't put it here, but they got a Steeler guard as well. Major upgrade. And it's not just upgrading for any quarterback. It's upgrading for Justin Herbert. They already have good weapons. And the team that's not getting mentioned that had a great offseason is the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, what do they need to make it work? A good quarterback. Check. Mahomes. A good offensive line. That was a huge issue in the Super Bowl. They not only made their offensive line great, they added depth. They got Orlando Brown, Pro Bowl left tackle. Joe Tooney, Pro Bowl guard. Kyle Long, out of retirement. Austin Blythe, top 10 center. Then they drafted Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, the best center. Now they have two legitimate elite centers. Their weakness linebacker, they got Nick Bolton, who I thought should have been drafted higher. These are playoff teams already. These are good rosters already that had a hole. And the Browns attacked their linebacker and secondary. The Chargers attacked their offensive line. What the Chiefs did to their offensive line is beyond attacked. Sharknado. They got stuff flying all over here. They added a great center, then a college center. And again, you're given Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield. These are guys that can, these are big time, you know, I got my issues with Baker, but he won a playoff game. So to me, those are A-plus offseason. Stefanski won Coach of the Year. Herbert was the best rookie quarterback. And Andy Reid, Mahomes, enough said. Now, I want to mention two other drafts I thought were really strong because the coaches used to coach in college. So I predicted they'd do well in the draft. They did. Jacksonville in Carolina. Again, Urban just out of college. Matt Rhule, 1 year out of college. I thought both of them showed a complete direction. Both went heavy into offense. They're both offensive coaches. The Jacksonville Jaguars went quarterback, running back, offensive tackle. They're telling you right now, we're going to build a running game. We're going to build a running game to take the pressure off Trevor Lawrence. For the first time in a decade, Jacksonville's got a direction. I believe a culture changer and stars offensively. They're not going to be very good defensively. They'll score points. Same thing for Carolina. They're not going to be a great team. But they went out and said, we're going to get hyper-athletic at quarterback Sam Darnold. They got the best corner in the draft. And then look what they did. Wide receiver, left tackle, tight end. I'll say this. Chuba Hubbard is going to be potentially the steal of the draft. So I don't think those off seasons are as good as the Chiefs, Browns, Chargers, but these teams, these offensive coaches said, we're going to be explosive. Now, if you want me to just grade best draft, I don't do it because I don't know what your fifth, sixth, seventh round guys are going to be. But I will say the Miami Dolphins on sheer draft, five picks, four could be high-end starters, and Hunter Long may eventually start at tight end. I thought Miami, in terms of just drafting, I love their draft last year mostly, Tua, but Jalen Waddle now gets to play with his college quarterback. So the three A-plus off seasons, Browns, Chargers, Chiefs. The two teams where the college coaches with an offensive background clearly head in the offensive direction, Urban and the Jags, Matt Rhule and the Panthers, and just in terms of draft, I thought Miami crushed it, just in terms of draft picks. Okay, so the Aaron Rodgers situation, it's so weird, and I actually love, you know, Aaron is the gift that keeps on giving. So Aaron Rodgers, day of the draft, Packers burned him a year ago, I'm going to burn you. And so right now the story is the ball is in Mark Murphy's court. Aaron wants the Packer GM out. The GM of the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, he went and got Jordan Love last year, apparently went a little rogue. Here's the whole thing here. It's not that complicated. If Jordan Love, who they drafted last year in the first round, can play, your problems are really not that dire. What you do after June 1st, you trade Aaron, so you split up the salary cap hit. You call Denver, say, give me three first-rounders and Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver. If Jordan Love can play and you drafted him in the first round, he doesn't cost anything. So the dead cap hit for Aaron Rodgers isn't the end of the world. It all comes down to can Jordan Love play. I'm not saying problem completely solved, but think about this. If you could go to a Denver, and that appears to be the leader in the clubhouse for him, and get like Jerry Jeudy, their receiver last year, I'd have Davante Adams, Jerry Jeudy, Aaron Jones, a top five offensive lineman, and Robert Tonyan, the tight end, had 11 touchdowns last year, and Matt LaFleur, the coach, in a division with dysfunctional Detroit, Kirk Cousins, and rookie Justin Fields. Green Bay would win the division. Would win the division probably easily if Jordan Love can play. And that's why you took him right in the first round. I always said, I got the Jordan Love move. I understand it, but it only works if he can play. But instead, Jordan Love is a beautiful mystery in the words of Aaron Rodgers. Is he Paxton Lynch? Some say he is. Is he potentially a B-plus Mahomes? Some say he is. He's had a year in the system. Can the dude play? We don't know. Because of COVID, the media's not allowed to go to practice. So nobody knows. Is he Paxton Lynch? Is he Patrick Mahomes? But I mean, there have been more UFO sightings in the last 7 days than Jordan Love sightings in the last year. So this whole situation with Aaron Rodgers, if you're at practice and you're watching him and you're like, he's 85% of Josh Allen or Mahomes, you got no issues. Aaron's 37, two collarbones, very expensive, prickly, difficult to get along with. It's a divorce. He wants to go play West. He's dating somebody from Hollywood. He's doing Jeopardy. You're fine. I mean, your division, let's be honest, is dysfunctional. Chicago hopes Justin Fields can play. Dan Campbell, Lions, Kirk Cousins, limitations, Minnesota. This all comes down to a general manager in Green Bay who said, hey, this kid is potentially great. All right, it's on you. If he is, this is not that big of a deal. I mean, don't get me wrong. Aaron Rodgers will leave, but it's not like if Aaron goes to the Broncos, he's going to line up 9 straight Super Bowls. He's 37. He's never had that Tom Brady, I want to play forever gene. He's already doing Jeopardy. Aaron's had injuries. Tom didn't have those kind of injuries. And frankly, if you go to a division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, that is a lot of barriers to go through to just win the division, forget Super Bowls. But if Jordan Love can't play, then you got to fire the GM because it was a terrible pick. You may have ruined the culture of the Packers and you ticked off your franchise quarterback. So it all comes down to the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Do you know what you're doing? If Jordan Love can play, this is pretty easy. I mean, when Mahomes, they recognized he could play, the Alex Smith situation, see you, buddy. Thanks for mentoring. All comes down to that. Brett Veach and Andy Reid draft a guy that none of us watched play in college, didn't know anything about. Well, you got Alex Smith. Is Alex Smith going to be offended? What? Oh, boy, he's pretty good. No problem. If Jordan Love can play, move Aaron. Get picks. Jerry Jeudy. You're going to win your division. Most problems, I tell my kids this all the time, most problems get overstated. God, go to social media. Everything's the end of the world. We just had a pandemic. California had a $15 billion surplus in a pandemic. Today in LA County, we didn't have a single death. There's 10 million people here. The COVID rate in LA County is 0.6%. This is the most diverse county in America. We're through it. A pandemic. Economy's flying. Nothing's the end of the world. As long as you're prepared. If Jordan Love can play, then you're prepared.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Everybody wants to know, our draft grade. One of the teams, obviously they picked second. They got Zach Wilson. How was the Jets draft? And my thing is, it doesn't matter. They're a fourth place team. The Jets fans don't need a draft grade. What they need is patience. It's a bunch of firsts. You have a first-time head coach and a first-time play caller and a rookie quarterback from a small town and several offensive players who were in their first or second year. It's a fourth-place team. Just be patient. Miami was 10-6. Great special teams, great defense, and had a great offensive draft. You're not finishing ahead of them. Buffalo was 13-3. Has one real weakness, pass rush. First two picks, pass rushers. New England spent a fortune in the offseason, has the best football coach ever, Cam Newton year two, and 8 players opt back in. You're not beating them. They were 7-9, and that was a disaster for them. The New York Jets are a fourth place team. Listen, there's 4 teams in the NFL that I think are going to finish last. 2 I would pick today, Detroit and Houston. two others, Philadelphia and the Jets, I presume they're fourth-place teams. Zach Wilson looks 11. Small-town Utah, big city New York. This is going to take time. You got to be patient. I mean, God, Zach Wilson's mom looks 28. Forget Zach. This is just a young kid. This is a brutal division. Defensive coaches, best defensive coach division easily in the NFL. Zach Wilson is going to be completely overwhelmed for 2 years. That's why I said you could have made an argument to keep Darnold, because at least he's seen the coaching in this division. So you're starting over at quarterback. This is Sam Darnold as a rookie. The difference is he has a competent general manager and a much better left side of the offensive line. But how did the Jets draft go? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. How is your patience? That's going to matter. Don't call Sports Talk Radio when they're 1-5. That's what they're probably going to be if they have to face Belichick and Brian Flores and Sean McDermott early. Everything's perspective. Perspective will control your happiness. If I said to you you're a 6-11 team, that's not necessarily a disaster if you lose a bunch of close games and Zach Wilson can play. If I was a Jet fan today and you said, he's a hit, and we lost a ton of close games, I'd take 6-11 tomorrow. Tomorrow. Now, if you tell me you're 7-10 and Zach Wilson had 17 picks, and to be honest with you, you got some scheduling breaks. Cam got hurt. You didn't play him twice. You just got to sit back, let it play out, let this puppy bake. Because you got a first-time head coach and a first-time play caller and a rookie quarterback and rookies everywhere. And I got no idea how it's going to turn out. By the way, nobody does, including Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. No team in the NFL is a bigger question mark than the Jets. You cross your fingers, you hope it's good, you hope the kid can play. But he's going from small-town Utah to the biggest city in America and the surliest media.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Albert Breer brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing MMQB. Okay, so, you know, there's a lot of different stories out there. I don't think it was a smokescreen. My takeaway was Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac and got voted out. That was always kind of my feeling. But, you know, who knows? What do you believe happened, the shift from Mac to Trey Lance?
Well, I just think the gap closed on where Mac's biggest advantage was, which was the part of the game that happens above the neck. You know, really, like, if you talk to enough teams about this, what they'll tell you is he was so advanced. He like operated so fast, and I'm not talking about foot speed, just the way he processed the game was so fast that you could see him overcoming his physical limitations. And, you know, the Niners are pitting him against another guy and two other guys really that didn't have those physical limitations. And I think the Niners learned about Trey Lance what a lot of other teams learned about Trey Lance. His football IQ is off the charts. His character is really good. He just needs to play more. That's really it, you know. And he only played 17 games at the collegiate level. There are issues there with the fact that you didn't see him playing from behind very much at North Dakota State. I think you'd argue the gap between North Dakota State and their competition is larger than the gap between Alabama and their competition. And so there were a lot of like critical situations that you didn't see Trey Lance in. So he is a little bit more of a pure projection, but I think the difference for the Niners was the one area where Mac Jones held a lead over the other two guys. I mean, really over the course of the month between the trade and the draft, Trey Lance was able to close that gap to the point where the Niners felt like they couldn't pass up on the upside that Lance brought to the table.
You know, before we get into the Aaron Rodgers stuff, I'm not a big believer in draft grades. It's consumable. I get it. It's fun. I did think Miami, just in terms of first four or five guys taken, I thought, boy, that is a good draft. You know, it's funny. When I watched Miami's draft, my takeaway is the Jets are a fourth-place team, is that Buffalo's better. New England's got all the opt-ins, and I thought Miami, which has great defense and special teams, went offense. I guess if I said best draft weekend, is there anybody for you that stands out?
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Jets. I think the Jets did really well. And let's move the quarterback aside, because it's unpredictable what will happen with the quarterbacks. But I really think if you look here, Colin, there's almost like a self-awareness here of how they screwed Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? Like, over the last 3 years, a big reason why Sam Darnold hasn't didn't reach his potential was because of what was around him. And I don't know if Sam Darnold's ever going to make it as a franchise quarterback, but you know, I think there's still a lot of unknown there because the situation around him was so broken. So what does Joe Douglas do? He hires, you know, a head coach who's going to put in the most quarterback-friendly system in football. And if you look at their first four picks, okay, go right on down the line, high-character guys. Beyond the quarterback, you've got an offensive guard in Oliver Tucker that's going to play next to Mekhi Becton. So now you've got two foundation pieces on the offensive line. You give him a slot receiver in Elijah Moore, who's going to create easy completions. And then you give him a back in Michael Carter, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And so, you know, I think it's hard to grade things a couple of days after the draft, but I think just looking as far as value goes, you look at where they got Vera Tucker. I thought that was a good spot to get him. A lot of teams viewed Elijah Moore as a first-round pick. They got him at the top of the second round. And I don't think very many people at all expected Michael Carter to be there in the fourth round. They got him. And what I really like about it, again, is there's an acknowledgement that they need to do more around the young quarterback to really figure out who that young quarterback is. And so I think now they're giving Zach Wilson a much, much better chance to succeed in New York than they ever gave Sam Darnold.
All right, you talked to Brian Gutekunst yesterday, the GM of the Packers. I had said earlier in the show today, listen, if Jordan Love can play, this would make this all much easier to digest. But again, we've had more UFO sightings than Jordan Love sightings in the last couple of weeks because COVID, no media is around practice. So I have no idea. So take us to your conversation as much as you can tell us about the GM of the Packers yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his feet planted in the ground on this one. And I think it's an important detail to remember. He was with the organization in 2008 when all this was going on with Brett Favre. And so, you know, I brought up to him the parallels there. I mean, Favre was mad, if you remember at the time, Colin, because they hadn't been aggressive enough around him. And really the flashpoint was not getting Randy Moss the year that Randy Moss went to New England. Then you look at the general manager, the relationship between the general manager and the quarterback. There was a coaching change involved. It was to Mike McCarthy with Favre. It was to Matt LaFleur with Rodgers. So there are a lot of parallels there. But when I asked Gutekunst about that and how his experience there might serve him now, basically said that it was different because the organization in 2008 made a decision they were going with Aaron Rodgers. And he told me point blank, we're not making that sort of decision right now, and we won't be making that sort of decision for the foreseeable future. And if you read between the lines, Colin, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And this isn't coming from Gutekunst. This is coming from other people who I think would know. I don't think they think Jordan Love's ready. And I think they feel like they've got a championship team right now, a team that obviously has been in the championship round the last 2 years. And I don't think they think it would serve that team particularly well to put Jordan Love on the field right now. And so I think as much as anything else, this is, again, the belief that they really do think that Aaron Rodgers has a few good years left at the level he played at last year. But beyond just that, I don't think that they feel like they've got the, I would say, answer for right now on the roster. I'm not sure if they feel like there's any doubt long-term on him, but as far as the answer for right now, I don't think Jordan Love is it.
All right, listen, Ryan Pace, I've been critical of him. He felt like in the last year he's on the hot seat, but I do think it takes some guts to go up and get Justin Fields, who I think is everything Andy Dalton is not. You know, big arm, athletic, young, super inexpensive now. Kind of take me through that move by the Bears from what you can tell happened.
Well, really, you know, Matt Nagy's had his eye on the guy for over a year. He's got a really close relationship with Ryan Day. The two played against each other as quarterbacks in the Atlantic 10 over 20 years ago. They've known each other since. And Day really put Nagy on to Justin Fields back in March to the point where, and Nagy told me this late last night, he would make a point of watching Ohio State's games on Saturdays when they were on the road from the team hotel because he was really just fascinated in Fields as a prospect. Now, I think there was a limit to how far they were willing to go to get him. But once he got past that little rung of, you know, where we expect some quarterback movement, you know, the Lions potentially trading down from 7 didn't happen. The Panthers and Broncos didn't take quarterbacks in 8 and 9. That was the point where they needed to get aggressive. And so I know the Cowboys weren't willing to move too far down. They didn't want to go beyond what was the perceived cliff in the mid-teens. So they wind up moving back 2 spots. And, you know, then, of course, the Bears are able to find a trade partner in the Giants. And I can tell you, there's a belief that the upside here with Justin Fields is very, very high.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how quickly they get him on the field, Colin, but I think it's important to remember that Matt Nagy was in Kansas City in 2017. Part of the process in scouting Patrick Mahomes, and also part of developing Patrick Mahomes that rookie year when he was redshirted. So I'm not saying Justin Fields is going to be redshirted, but I do believe him that they feel like what's best for Fields is to wait until he's truly ready to put him on the field. And maybe that happens in September. Maybe it happens in December. Maybe it happens in 2022. But I really feel like they think, because of the way that Nagy handled the development of Mahomes back in 17, that if they can serve this kid right, just, you know, in terms of his development, there could be something really special there.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Good seeing you again, bud. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
All right. Why next Wednesday is a massive day for the Cleveland Browns. And what to make of the Cowboys draft? It was kind of odd. Thoughts on both of those coming up next, plus Colin Right, Colin Wrong, top of hour two. Spring is here. For me and those in warm weather states, grilling season is here. For others, you're a few weeks away. That means ButcherBox.com/herd is the place to go. They ship overnight high-quality protein conveniently to your door, partnering with folks who believe in going above and beyond when it comes to caring for animals. That's why their chicken is free-range and organic, and their beef was 100% grass-fed and grass-finished. Their website, loaded with awesome recipes, whole family will love, 20 different cuts of meat to choose from. And again, the box is shipped fresh overnight to your door. Grilling season starts now. ButcherBox.com/herd, the place to go. First box, if you order today, you'll get a free essentials bundle. What is it? 3 pounds of chicken breast.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Where Colin was right.
John Lynch quoted yesterday saying, we're going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. That's always been our preference. Draft a quarterback and keep Jimmy. We're happy to have that situation because it's a really strong one. Jed, the owner, and his family, okay with it. It fits in the cap. It's a pretty good situation. Listen, it always made the most sense for us. You only gave up a second-round pick for him, and he got you to a Super Bowl. So it's not like you have to win some sort of trade. It's why I never bought into Mac Jones has to be the draft pick because he can play right away. This is a Super Bowl roster. I don't want a rookie quarterback playing right away. Keep Garoppolo until the wheels come off. It could be September, but if not, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, this roster, that's a division-winning team. Why do you need to get rid of him and play your quarterback out of college immediately?
Where Colin was wrong.
I've ripped Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, for the last 2 years, but I thought Chicago, he showed guts. They moved up. Listen, the Bears made the playoffs last year, and Matt Nagy has a winning record with Mitch Trubisky, who I never thought was a first-round or a second-round quarterback. So in the end, they went and got, many believe, is the second best pure quarterback talent in the draft. He doesn't have to be a starter day one. He will absolutely play this year. And depending on the schedule, hopefully it's soft early. You can, move him in October, early November. But I got to be fair. This GM drives me nuts. I thought it was a big time move. I still can't figure out what Washington's doing at quarterback. That's a mystery to me.
Where Colin was right.
Said from the beginning, Mac Jones, wherever he lands, should be the fifth quarterback taken. Now, that doesn't mean he won't succeed. It doesn't mean he couldn't have a nice career. But when you have average size, no mobility, and an okay arm, you're not a first or a second or a third quarterback in an incredibly strong draft. Again, New England's a good fit, but he had a college DUI. He didn't start any more games than Trey Lance. He was easily the least athletic. And frankly, we have to be honest about this. Alabama quarterbacks look really average when they get to the NFL because they're surrounded by such great coaches and great players. I thought on Mac Jones, we were right.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I thought LeBron and AD would come back to the Lakers and it would be rainbows and winning streaks. The Lakers are 1-5 since AD came back, 0-2 since LeBron came back, and they look like they're a mess. Even Kyle Kuzma said yesterday, we're not there and we're not close. And they're also only a handful of games left, as Joy said, and they need to win some. But unfortunately, they play the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Knicks. And those teams want to have good playoff position. And those teams right now are playing better with better chemistry. So it has not gone well for the Lakers, and LeBron is hurt again.
Where Colin was right.
The whole John Gruden Raiders thing was always a little bit of a head-scratcher. They keep butchering their first-round picks, and Alex Leatherwood got more criticism than any first-round pick. Here's my thing. This is Gruden's fourth draft, and their defense still stinks. How many drafts do you get to make the defense decent, viable? I mean, I like some of their offensive weapons, but he didn't draft Derek Carr. He didn't draft Darren Waller, the tight end. They got him from Baltimore. Show me all the hits in draft picks. And for the record, trading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, they got great picks for it. Have they hit on any of them? They drafted three safeties. Could they get a pass rusher, please? We don't need more safeties. They need pass rushers.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought the Dodgers had a chance to be one of the best baseball teams in over a decade. They're a hot and cold roller coaster. Mookie Betts and Corey Seager are in horrible slumps. They have won four of their last 14 games. Their bullpen shaky. They got an injury issue. Now Dustin May got hurt. And of their 14 RBIs yesterday, of the 16 runs, 14 came from two guys that aren't even starters. So they're not playing well. Milwaukee got the best of them. Right now they're a second-place team with cold hitters and injuries to the San Francisco Giants.
Where Colin was right.
My question on the Brooklyn Nets, number one, chemistry. KD, Harden, and Kyrie don't play together. Number two is, how are they going to defend bigs? Andre Drummond has eaten them alive. Yesterday, Giannis had 49 and a dunk to start the game. Listen, say what you want about Milwaukee, but Giannis is a handful if you don't have a big. By the way, Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, when healthy, he's got a baby Shaq quality. So this idea that, you know, Brooklyn's talented, but if it's just a talent league we're talking about, there Miami would not end up in the finals last year. It is coaching. Can you defend the rim? Do you have length, size, veteran, young guys? Brooklyn, to me, all offense, weird chemistry, can't defend bigs. And we really don't know, to be honest with you, how three of these stars are going to work once the postseason begins.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I had a strong feeling that the first player taken in the second round was going to be Notre Dame offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg, Notre Dame going to the Jags, and Joel Klatt shut me down quickly. Okay. I am going to tell you who was the first pick in today's Jags have the first pick.
Oh, okay, great. I would love to know. I actually have it on my phone.
Okay.
Please let me know.
Okay. You have it on your phone?
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to tell you.
Liam Eichenberg, Notre Dame, left tackle, first pick, Jags. Boom, go to your phone. What's it say?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I can't divulge what it is. I'm going to tell you, I think you're wrong.
Okay, well, I was wrong. They took a cornerback from Georgia, Liam Eichenberg, who is a great tackle, is going to go to the Miami Dolphins 9 picks later, and he's going to start for the next 10 years, but I got shut down pretty quickly.
Where Colin was right.
And with that, I said, intelligence is why you should hire Urban Meyer. He'll figure out the NFL. And Shad Khan, the owner, was quoted last week saying, I hired him because he was curious and intelligent. He'll figure out the rest later. I also thought, I predicted that Urban would have a very good draft, and it was funny if you watched it. He took a lot of 5-star high school players who he had recruited at Ohio State. I thought the Jags draft had a direction. running game, solve the left tackle situation, and have a direction. But Shad Khan came out and said he hired him for the same reason I said I would hire him. He's one of the single smartest guys I've ever met in football. Came over to Fox, first show, hit a home run as an analyst. The guy really knows football.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So listen, LeBron James has been dominating a long time. NBA ratings have been down last several years. Nobody's quite sure why. Is there a LeBron fatigue? I don't know. I find him to be captivating. Not everybody does. He has been the league's overwhelming story for 15 years and has earned all that visibility and acclaim. But LeBron's getting old. He's had two major injuries and several small ones in the last couple of years, and it's taking all of them longer to heal. This is called age. This is what happens to everybody. You can remember the late Kobe Bryant had a couple of big injuries late. It takes him longer to come back. And what has compounded the frustration for LeBron is last year they got a lot of breaks. The Clippers melted down. A lot of the veteran teams struggled. The bubble gave him an AD 4.5 months off. It really worked out perfectly for them. This year, they're not getting breaks. LeBron usually gets, we checked, about 120 days off after being in the finals, win or lose. This year, he got 70. So he's been in a bad mood from the beginning. He didn't like the season starting December 22nd. He said it should have been late January. He didn't like the All-Star weekend. He hates this play-in game thing. The breaks aren't going his way. And what compounded it and his frustration, and he won't say this because he does like Anthony Davis, but he was sort of hoping this was the year Anthony would kind of emerge as the 38-minute-a-game guy. And what happened? Anthony Davis got off to a really bad start and then got hurt again. And so between the condensed schedule, LeBron's injury, AD doesn't step up, things are not going well. Now they're struggling. They don't have any chemistry. LeBron is hurt again. This just feels a little bit now, the last week, like the opposite of last year. Last year was great chemistry, got a break, everybody healthy, good teams falling off. Well, this year there's a lot of good teams like the Sixers, Bucks, Denver, Utah playing well. So LeBron talked yesterday. He got hurt late, pulled himself out of a game, and he is just not in a great mood.
If I'm not, 100%, close to 100%, it don't matter, you know, where we land, you know. So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired.
So just a lot of things are compounding negatively. So after all worked perfectly last year, the key in this whole thing was Anthony Davis, this was going to be the year, right? We talked about it. We're like, okay, this is the year AD's the guy, and LeBron scales back. AD got off to a lousy start. And then AD got, because this happens all the time, hurt. And so LeBron had to play more. And then LeBron gets hurt. And then AD is slow to come back. And LeBron does, and he gets hurt again. So they don't have their chemistry. They don't have their health. They're really a health story right now. And they got the biggest break last year with that pandemic, 4.5 months. This year, they squished all the games together, and it just doesn't work for an old guy or a brittle guy in AD. And it will be interesting. This is why I'm a fan of Zion. Right now, the NBA is in a weird spot. Who's the guy you hand the baton to as the face of the league? AD doesn't talk much. He's great. Giannis isn't a big talker. Great. Kawhi's great. Doesn't talk. Kyrie, Kevin Durant, Harden, they're not really face of the league guys. They're a little odd, strange, just different cats. So, I mean, this is why it's really important for a Zion to pop, because the NBA has gotten a gift for like 15 years. LeBron doesn't get in trouble. He's great. He's in the finals. Good spokesman for the league. And now all of a sudden it is teetering fast and he can't stay healthy. And when he does come back, it takes a long time to get back. So it's a weird spot. Do not feel good. It's amazing how things change quickly. About 2 weeks ago, I thought it was all going to work out, and now none of it is working out for the Lakers.